Could you please begin to prepare our hearts for worship by singing our refrain? Register your attendance in the pads and pass them down the pew so that you can look at who's sitting next to you and speak to those folks that you don't know. And if you are visiting with us, we encourage you to let us know. Give us your address, your phone number, and how we may get in touch with you. Main Street folks are awful busy folks. If you look in your bulletin and if you look in your newsletter, you will see there are many, many activities taking place at this church, and I just want to hit a couple of them in the highlights. I urge you to please look at your newsletter and in your bulletin to see all of the many opportunities that Main Street is providing for its members. This afternoon, from 3 to 5:30, there will be a lay leadership training here at Main Street. If you will meet in the sanctuary, they will break down into about five different groups. People who were interested got the mailing from the Greenwood District at least by yesterday. So if you can possibly get here, this is a wonderful opportunity to find out how to do your job or how to become more active as a layperson at Main Street. I also want to call your attention to one of the inserts in the bulletin that you have today, and that is the Women's Retreat. The Women's Retreat will be February the 6th and the 7th, and you need to register by the 4th of February, please. If you also noticed, the young people, I'm sure, are aware that their Snow Mountain trip has been rescheduled for January the 31st, but this afternoon they're going to have a dodgeball tournament. So I understand that's a real highlight and a lot of fun. So you guys don't miss that. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the conference room of the Susanna Wesley Building, the executive committee of the UMW will be meeting. All of those who need to attend, please be present. And those who would like to visit, come. Several things that you might want to look ahead for. There is a mention in here of the consignment sale for the Mud Pies and their enrollment. You will see that in your bulletin, and the insert also dealing with the makeover by the master for the women's retreat. You will see signs around the church for Brigadoon for February the 21st. Main Streeters have the best seats in the house for Brigadoon. Please get in touch with Babs Dunn. There's information on the sign-up sheet. Also, there's going to be a sweetheart banquet with the Duotones providing the music on February the 13th. Contact the church office for information. And I also want to point out in the newsletter, consult your newsletter for more details, but we have been given, the Methodist men have been given a Chevrolet Blazer, 1999, and there's going to be a sealed bid auction. Don't let that one get by you. So check your newsletter for more information. And now, may we continue our worship.
Thank you. please stand for the call to worship? For God alone, our souls wait in silence. Our hope is from God, our fortress. God is our rock and our salvation. God is our refuge and our deliverance. Trust in God at all times, in all places. Pour out your hearts to the one who hears. All people are valuable in God's sight. No one is more important than another. Worship God, who is ready to speak to us. Open your lives to God's steadfast love. All power in the universe belongs to God, yet God asks for our faithful service.
Please join me in our invocation. We await your message, God of all places and times. Sometimes we do not like what we hear, but we know we need to listen. Your message is inclusive and fair. While we like to make distinctions that favor us and our friends, you call us out of our comfort zones to do new things and try better ways. You direct us to reach out to people with whom we seem to have little in common. Speak your truth to us in this service so we can carry it to the places where you want us to go, to the people you are eager to reach. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading today is from Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and verse 10. You may find this in your pew Bibles, page 1054. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up and go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk. And he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from St. Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth. It's found on page 207, the New Testament part of your few Bibles. Chapter 7, verses 29 through 31. I mean, brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
You are invited, as I lift up a few concerns, to come forward for prayer during the personal prayer time, our time of silence. I want to lift up several. We have had many, many members, and those who are extended members of our church family in and out of the hospital in the past week, and those recovering from illness. We have Amy Gregory, who is here today, continuing her treatments. Billy Tunstall, continuing his treatments and then recovering from one surgery. Miriam Aylwine at home with some good days and bad. Meredith Driver Edwards is in the St. Francis Hospital in Greenville, recovering from some major surgery and treatment, and will be there for several days. Allison Parent, home from the hospital. Claude Huey in the hospital. Mike Williams, home from the hospital this past week. Joby Adams was in the hospital this past week. Ronnie Tolley at home and recovering. And we also should be in prayer for the sister of Rob Massey, one of our new choir members, who will be giving birth, we think, tomorrow. Let us add these names to our prayer list and lift up our private concerns, our thanksgivings, and our confessions to God. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we come to you to rest a while in prayer. We come to praise you, to listen, to be encouraged, and to be directed. You've brought us here together. You've given us each other. You've given us yourself in Jesus Christ. Now give us courage to be your hands and hearts and voices out there in the world. We know that love is hard. We know that love is costly. And we have been to the cross, and we know the cost of love. We know also the cost of hatred and suspicion and unforgiveness, judgment and bitterness. Lord, give us the courage to love, and by your Spirit, the ability to forgive, the desire to lift up, to offer healing and hope to the broken people we meet. As broken and healed people, we do now pray for our newly elected leaders, for the financial health of our nation, and for the families who are in distress over job and career and financial situations. We pray for those situations in countries where we have missions and ministry, and for the people of Zimbabwe, for the people in the situation in Israel and Palestine. And we pray for this church and its families and its ministries. Lord, we lift up now our private prayers before you in our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
For children's time now. To talk about somebody from the Bible named Jonah. Does anybody know anything about Jonah? Do you remember anything about him? He did get swallowed by a whale. What else? Skylar?
He was supposed to preach to like this certain group of people, but he avoided it. Then he got swallowed by the whale. Then he got spit out. And then he preached to them and they repented. And then he was so hot and he asked for shade, and then God grew a tree, and then a worm ate it, and then he got all mad.
All right, we're through. No, not really. Good job, Skylar. That's exactly right. The most important part of that story is not necessarily that he got swallowed by a whale, although in children's Sunday school, a lot of times that's what we talk about. The most important thing is that God told him to do something that he did not want to do. So he didn't do it. That's why he got swallowed by the whale. So then he decided that, maybe I do need to do that. And it was very difficult. The place where Jonah came from didn't like the people that God was sending him to, the people in Nineveh. So God told him that he needed to go and tell them the story of God. He said, no way. That is way out of my comfort zone. That is way, way too much trouble. I don't want to do that. And he tried to hide. But that story tells us, can we hide from God? No. He's going to find us, and he knows where we are all the time. And he knows what we're thinking and what we're doing. Sometimes God puts us in those positions that are very difficult, that we don't like to do. You might have someone in one of your classes that's very difficult to get along with. But the Christian thing to do is to be friends with that person and to, using God's grace, be able to change the way that that person acts. But that's very hard sometimes. It's very hard to be nice to people who are ugly to you. But that's what God calls us to do, and God will give us what we need to be able to do that. He protected Jonah in Nineveh and got the point across before he even made it to the center of the town. So those people did turn around and repent, which is what God wanted them to do. So as we go out from here, remember that God will sometimes put you in situations that you're not comfortable in, but he will also give you the strength and the guidance to get through those difficult times. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for equipping us with the things we need to go out into your world. Help us be strong and to rely on you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now let us pass the peace. us affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This morning is from the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, verses 14 through 20. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come near. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please be seated. Now, first of all, I need to clear something up, because you'll be waiting all through the sermon for good grief to come into play. That's not really my title. It was a very, very busy, busy day, and sometimes Emmy yells from her office into mine questions, sometimes a whole lot of questions, sometimes a phone call and an interruption, then another question. And when she asked me that final question, what's your sermon title, I said, good grief. And that's not my title. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm preaching from Jonah, not the gospel today. And Jonah is an example of many things, but one thing in particular is that no matter what, people do pretty much what they want to do. Whether it's right or wrong, or whether they know better or not, they do pretty much what they want to do. A few years ago, a man won a ticket, was lucky enough to win a ticket to the Super Bowl. And tickets were so precious and so hard to come by that he was surprised at the end of the first quarter that he had an empty seat right next to him. And at the end of the half, into the half, he still had an empty seat to him, and he was very puzzled. So he leaned over and he talked to the lady on the other side of the empty seat, and he said, it sure seems strange to see an empty seat at the Super Bowl. It was the only one in the whole section there. And she said, it was my husband's. He died. And the man said, oh, I am so sorry to hear that, but tickets to the Super Bowl are so hard to come by. I would have thought that you might have given it to a relative or one of your husband's friends. And she said, I tried, but they all insisted on going to his funeral. People do pretty much what they want to do. Jonah heard God's call and ran the other way. And Jonah is a very strange book. It seems that everyone and everything in the book of Jonah obeys God except for God's prophet, Jonah. Storm obeys, a fish obeys, a plant obeys, a worm obeys, and even these foreign non-Jewish Ninevites finally obey and repent. But Jonah tries not to. Jonah wants to be left alone, but God will not leave him alone. He tried to ignore God. That did not work. He tried to say, oh, that was just a dream. It wasn't God calling me to do anything, but it didn't go away. He tried to run away from God. That didn't work. He tried to keep his faith secret from the crowd on the ship, and that didn't work. They found out that he was running from God, and they threw him off the ship. He tried to swim to shore, and that didn't work. Then finally, after all this happened, then God said a second time, and that's what you heard from the third chapter. God said a second time, go. And Jonah said, okay. If you read the whole book, you'll get the tone of it. You want me to go to those wretched, despicable, nasty, smelly Ninevites and speak your judgment to them? Okay. If that's what you want so badly, if I must do it, then let's do it quickly. And let's do it completely. And maybe I'll have some fun watching those vermin get destroyed for their sins. Pretty much all of Israel felt the way that Jonah felt about Nineveh. You see, Nineveh, the back history is this, that it had been the capital of Assyria, a kingdom that was brutal in its conquest. Thousands had died in Israel as Assyria had attacked it in the past. And Nineveh came to represent the great place of evil in the Middle East. The prophet Nahum called Nineveh the bloody city, all full of lies and stolen treasure. So Nineveh was the very heartland of enemy territory, and Jonah did not want these hated Assyrians to even get the chance to repent, to turn to God. But the framework of the gospel is foreshadowed here. God's offer of forgiveness and grace and the warning of the judgment that was to come if they did not turn, it is seen here through Jonah, the unwilling prophet, to Nineveh. It's really not about fish. It's not about a whale. That is purely incidental to the story of how determined God is to offer mercy and how we, God's people, often try to keep God's mercy to ourselves. That's what Jonah is about. Jonah reminds me of a certain senator during the first Gulf War. I'm not going to name names, but I remember hearing him on a radio, and it just stuck in my brain. He said, this is the first Gulf War, he said, we should turn Iraq into a parking lot. I remember saying, whoa, Iraq invaded Kuwait, and they need to get out, but turn a whole nation of people into a parking lot? Men and women and children and animals who had nothing to do with Saddam Hussein lived in that nation. And that's extreme. God called Jonah to call Nineveh to repentance and warn them of judgment if they did not, to call them to turn to God, to stop their wicked ways and turn to God. And essentially, Jonah was saying, nope, I would rather you turn them into a parking lot. I would rather you wipe them out. Everybody knows how corrupt and how thieving and what heathens they are in Nineveh. Everybody has written them off except God. For some reason, God seemed to actually care about these folks and wants actually expects them to respond and repent of their ways. But Jonah said, not me. That's a dark, dangerous corner of the world, and it's filled with strange and dangerous people. Not me. I am not going to get involved in this mess. God, if you want my advice, and God didn't, just wipe them out. And even if we don't want people to get what they deserve, sometimes we can be like Jonah just by refusing to get involved. And I was working, been thinking about this sermon for a couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden, as I'm putting my thoughts down, I realize I have a confession to make. I was Jonah Friday, sitting in my old high school, Woodruff High School letter jacket, up in the stands waiting for Coach Willie Varner's hearse to make one last trip across the field. I sat next to an old friend. I hadn't seen him, an old teammate in 30 years. And we talked about our children. And we were talking about how drugs were ruining some of our old teammates and schoolmates. And he was so proud of his daughter, and I was proud of his daughter too. She had a great scholarship to a prestigious school. But as he spoke about all these folks messed up in drugs, I sat right next to him. I smelled the strong smell of whiskey on his breath. Now, this was 3:30 in the afternoon, and he had driven there from work. He obviously had a problem. And we were both sharing very openly, and I had a chance there to go to Nineveh and to be God's man on the spot and to offer hope to him that he could turn from this destructive behavior. And I feel like in my heart and my soul, I felt God saying, Jim, you know, because of another situation, you have the number to AA in Spartanburg. Offer him some care and concern and mercy. Offer him a call to turn, a call to repent of a dead-end path. But I had a funeral to go to. And though I did not hate him, far from it, I certainly did not act like someone who loved him either. And God is not through dealing with me on this. I'm going to have to respond. And don't miss the point. It's not about a whale. It's not about a big fish. The book of Jonah is about refusing to offer God's mercy, and in this case, prejudice and hatred against the people in Nineveh, and whatever reasons that we use to just keep God to ourselves and let other people go to hell. Jonah was not afraid to go to Nineveh. What Jonah was afraid of, if you read the whole book, you'll see the tone of it, was that God would offer them the chance to repent, which repent simply means to turn to God or to turn back to God. He was afraid that through him God would offer them the chance to repent. Like the prodigal son, that moment when he was in a far country, wasting his life and wasting his money and eating pig slop, when he came to himself and turned and said, you know, I have a father. That's repentance, a turn. Jonah did not want God to extend mercy to those blasted Ninevites. Jonah thought, we are the chosen. Over here, God, we are the chosen nation, the chosen faith, the proper rituals, the way to worship. Over here, God, you don't have any people in Nineveh. And God seems to answer, not yet. Not yet. But I'm sending you, Jonah, to get me some new people. And the extraordinary happenings of Jonah make an extraordinary point. If God is determined to offer mercy and a chance to repent even to the enemies of Israel, then no one and nothing can stand in God's way. I wonder even now, if I felt a call to go and offer the gospel to Iran and Iraq, to the insurgents there, and to North Korea and the folks who consider themselves our enemies there, would anybody fund that trip? I mean, we've grown used to hating and fearing the radical clerics and the outrageous leadership of North Korea and Iran and the factions remaining in Iraq. And who wants them to turn to God? If they embrace God, then they become our brothers and sisters. Then we have to embrace them. I don't think we're all that different from Jonah. Don't we judge some people, some strangers, as undeserving of God's mercy? I think we do. And I think it is, of course, an absurd thought because it assumes that anyone deserves mercy. If you deserve it, it's not mercy. That means you earned it. And no one can earn mercy. Mercy is, by definition, undeserved grace. God was offering undeserved grace to the Ninevites, a chance to turn, to repent, to stop going that way and doing those things, and to turn to God and do these things, the things God would have you do. To turn as the prodigal son turned, to turn and find a waiting father with open arms, to find a brother, to find a family God wants you to belong to. Turning away from self-directed, selfish, violent, and a hate-filled life. That's repentance. And you find a life with God. And after you find a life with God, God always sends us out to others and into the arms of others and out to those who are still broken and searching and wandering in a far country. And so God will just not leave us alone. He will just not leave them alone, no matter how hard we run. God said to Jonah, go to those people and give them the opportunity to repent and to return to me. Give them the chance to live as I desire them to live and enter the family of which you and Israel are already a part. And Jonah said first, no, no, no. I don't want those people to turn to you. I don't want those people in my family. Let them rot. You see, it's about prejudice and selfishness. And it's an underestimation of how huge God's grace is. We read in the Scripture in the New Testament that Christ died not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world, not just us. I think we face also this on a smaller and more personal level. You know, it's easy to talk about international relations. Let me talk about enemies. Jesus clearly and explicitly taught that we were to pray for enemies. But somewhere in the back of our mind, we know God to be merciful. And we know God to be a forgiving God. And we don't really want our enemies forgiven. What's the point of having a perfectly good enemy if you're just going to forgive them? I'm not talking about North Korea. I'm talking about personal enemies, the ones who have hurt you, who have betrayed you, who have belittled you, who have undermined you, who have lied about you, or maybe who owe you money. No, I don't believe we just forget to pray for them. I believe we pull a Jonah. We know God might change their heart and direction. God might turn them around with mercy and grace, and we don't want any part of it. Let them rot. Some part of us that is not healthy and whole and healed, some part of us feels that they don't deserve God's mercy like you and I do. I do believe, in part, we don't pray for our personal enemies because we do not want to risk contributing in any way and their finding God's embrace. You see, when we do that, we're saying, God is our God, our mercy and grace, our little secret. And we certainly are not going to tell them about God's offer to turn and repent and become a member of the same family and God that we claim. We're just not going to do it. And so we begin to see how Jonah is a very honest and contemporary story about all of us and how we rejoice in God's mercy for us, and sometimes we keep it a secret from others. No, it's not about a whale. And if you dismiss it in that way, you miss the point entirely. It's about God's determination to share His offer of repentance and salvation and wholeness and peace between enemies. It is about God's determination to share all these things with whomsoever will come in every part of the earth, whether we like them or not. God likes them and wants them to turn to Him, and then they become our brothers and sisters in God. You know, also in the Old Testament, I think we find a bit of the gospel foreshadowed in Ezekiel in the 18th chapter. And John Wesley was very fond of this verse, 18:32. For I have no pleasure, Ezekiel says on God's behalf, for I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God. So turn and live. I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, the destruction of anyone, says the Lord God. Ezekiel 18:32. So turn and live. God's mercy, so much larger than we imagine. Matthew, in the 11th chapter. Has Jesus offering the same sentiment that we experience and call the good news? But as I've showed you in just a few instances, that good news is already foreshadowed in the Old Testament. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We see people with burdens, emotional and spiritual and otherwise, all around us. We are those who know that Jesus helps us carry those burdens. We're supposed to share that knowledge. Jesus will and does require that you and I go out to those folks who are burdened and broken all around us and offer them the love of God. And even to our enemies and former enemies, and even those who may consider themselves God enemies, and pray for them and speak to them about the God who carries burdens and lifts them, the God who offers hope and mercy, the God who offers forgiveness, grace, and life abundant here and eternal beyond. We are to speak to them and to offer them what we have found and to make them brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't make Jonah's mistake. It was a rough ride for him because God is determined to offer mercy, and he did not want to do it. May God help us see the world and even those we consider our enemies and strangers and undesirables. May God help us see the world from God's point of view. And let us never keep a secret or resent God's mercy to others. I want to close with a short little illustration that I found. It seems that about 100 years ago, there was a man named Sam Jones, and he was a big revival preacher, and he would have certain nights that were just special nights for revival preaching. And one night in the series, and these things usually went on for weeks, one special night they would advertise during his revivals as a quitting meeting. Or you leave the G off. It's a quitting meeting. Anybody ever heard of that before? Quitting meeting? I haven't either. Well, anyway, they were called this way because people were given the opportunity to confess their sins and repent. That means turn away from them, stop doing them, turn back toward God, get on a new path. Well, many people would stand up and they would say, I'm going to quit swearing, I'm going to quit drinking, I'm going to quit smoking, I'm going to quit gossiping, I'm going to quit running around. And he asked one woman what she planned to quit, and she replied, I ain't been doing nothing. And I'm going to quit that, too. We have good news. Good news that God was rolling out piece of it at a time all through the Old Testament, offering through his prophets good news to the Gentiles and to the strangers, and even here through Jonah, the hated Ninevites, offering mercy and repentance and opportunity to turn. And now we know the end of that. God came himself in Jesus Christ to offer us freedom from sin and guilt and death and the fear of judgment, offering us eternal life and offering us the presence of the Spirit that we might be his co-evangelists. Evangelist simply means sharing the good news. We, like Jonah, have been given a word to share. We need to quit doing nothing. We, too, have something to do. Amen.
Amen.
committees of the church, or those of you who want to kind of brush up on what your duties are of the committees of the church, there is a district job function workshop, very convenient for you, right here, 3 o'clock today. You should have gotten a card, but in case it got held up in the mail, that's today at 3 o'clock. The district superintendent will be here, and trainers, and all the different program and committee and work areas. Please be here at 3 o'clock today if you can be, and also help us greet the others from the district who will be coming here. We'd appreciate as many of you who can come to please come. And also, as you note in the bulletin, we are happy to welcome today new members, new affiliate members, Gary and Avery Doubleday, who retain their membership at the Episcopal Church Christ of the Incarnation in Highlands, North Carolina, but affiliate with us and will be members here when they are here during the year. And so we welcome them today. Now receive this blessing, this benediction. You are blessed with the full knowledge, we pray, of God the Father's great and deep love and mercy. And we pray that you are blessed with the full understanding of the grace you have through your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we are called to share the good news of forgiveness, grace, and hope. And also you are offered the power and the courage and the presence and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, even in this moment, to go and do in Christ's name. Lord, you have called us. We will not ignore it. We have been blessed. Let us be a blessing by sharing our faith abroad, outside these walls. In Jesus' name, amen.